sponsors.
Blog Talk Radio.
WWNN, Pompano Beach. WWNN, Pompano Beach. The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of its hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors. This is the Holistic Lifestyles Radio Show, brought to you by Holistic Lifestyles Radio Incorporated. Join us every day on AM 1470 WNN, South Florida's Health and Wealth Network. For more information about the show and our sponsors, be sure to visit our website, HolisticLifestylesRadio.com. That's HolisticLifestylesRadio.com. You can also find us on our Twitter podcast, Facebook, and blogtalkradio.com. Now, today's program.
All right. Welcome to the Holistic Lifestyles Radio Show. And, of course, I'm John Hollis, and I'm your host for this evening. And we got a great show in store for you. We have Ken Seeley from Intervention 911. He's going to be taking some live phone calls tonight in regards to, of course, getting help with addiction or people that might need help, family members that might need help having a person find addiction resources and be able to help them and steer them and answer questions for them. One of the things that Ken had spoken about on our show last night when he came on the air for about 15 minutes, he talked about how he wants to be able to, you know, answer the questions that he gets all day long, but to the multitude, so people will really understand what the problem of intervention is and some of the pitfalls, and, you know, give the answers that people ask him all day long. You know, I called his office today, and he was on the phone, from what I understand, with a family for 2 hours speaking with them. So, you know, here's a guy that dedicates his life to helping people, and that's what this show is all about. I want to take this time to thank Crossroads Center of Antigua, Mr. Eric Clapton, for sponsoring this next hour with Mr. Seeley. And we are going to go to Ken right now. We're going to get him on the line. Ken, you with us?
I'm here, John. How you doing?
So far, so good. And you know something? I'm really glad that we've been able to put this together. And I think over time what will happen is people will start to be aware that we're here and that the questions that can be, you know, can be answered. And most importantly, you know, I think that the more that this problem is brought to a surface, then we can start helping despairing moms and children and family members and people that, you know, are clueless sometimes on what happens with interventions and addiction as a whole.
Yeah, I think that is so powerful. I mean, just to be able to help these people that are in so much pain and misery and they just don't see the way out. Let's help them out. Let's get them out of that darkness.
Absolutely. So if you're listening tonight, you want to call 347-637-3655. Give a call in to us. We'll be glad to answer any questions. Ken, how did it all begin for you? And, you know, what was the process that made you understand that, you know, you needed to go into this profession and start to help people?
Well, I, you know, for so many years in recovery, you always hear that the addict has to hit a rock bottom, and a lot of the old timers in AA, their philosophy is until they hit a rock bottom, don't try to help them; they'll come to you. And you know, and we're watching thousands and hundreds of thousands of people die from this disease when you could intervene and create the rock bottom. And you know, I understand, you know, like, you know, the 12 steps that I'm a member of many different programs with the 12 steps. And, you know, it's about attraction, not promotion. And I think they made a mistake when they think that, you know, when we're dealing with the disease of addiction, about getting into the program of recovery. Yes, I completely understand that it's about attraction, not promotion. We don't go out there and promote this program on how it works, but we can raise a rock bottom, turn it into a reality for an individual, and get them to surrender to recovery, and then it will be attraction. They will be attracted to it because the alternative is so devastating that they would choose to be in recovery versus being in their disease.
And you know something, I just had, I'm going to ask you a question here because we also have some chat lines going on at the same time. And one of the things that was just asked off of Facebook, and this is a lady, Kathy G., and I'm so hurt this afternoon. I just learned that a young man in my church was introduced to a woman that will destroy his life, and his person knows, and the person knows this. He has trouble in the past with drugs and alcohol. He is clean and has one of his sons with him now. Should I talk with him and try to deter his bad choice in women at this time?
Intervening on his choice of relationships, is that what she's asking?
Because the person uses. And this person's in recovery, that she's concerned about the person in recovery and being with somebody that might be using. Should she say something immediately that the person is a user?
Yeah, I think it's important that, you know, we all know when we're around an addict, because as we know, when you're close enmeshed in the person's life, then it's harder to see. The blinders are on, and the level of denial is much higher when you're enmeshed in part of that person's life, like a parent, a spouse. Just a little bit more difficult. So there are ways to point it out in a non-threatening way to show them that, you know, this person may very well be, you know, an addict. And I am one from a mindset that, you know, if you don't have a problem with drugs or alcohol and you're not an addict, you know, or even, you know, recreational user or cross the line to addiction, then, you know, I think it's okay to, you know, have a drink, you know, at a party, or, you know, I serve drinks in my home.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a problem with that. So I really don't, you know, I'm not that type of person in AA also that, you know, I'm not allowed to be around it or be around people that use. So, you know, it's a fine line there. Is that person an addict, or is that person just having, you know, a glass of wine with dinner? So,
mm-hmm. And you know something, I think you're right. There comes a point, I think, in everybody's life where, you know, when you're in recovery, if you're hiding out from it, there's probably an issue with that.
Yes, absolutely. Yep.
And I think that when you start to get motivated in your recovery, and it gets, you know, it talks about it in a big way in the Big Blue Book, you know what I mean? And it talks about how, you know, when that feeling comes upon us, we recoil from it like a hot flame. You know, it's not even there anymore. The thought isn't there anymore. It's removed for us. And, you know, I have found that to be true with my recovery, and I'm sure you have found the same.
Yeah, I was one of the really, really fortunate ones that had that lifted within the first 60 days of my recovery. And my, you know, I did 60 days inpatient, and in that time frame, which is really rare, it was completely lifted, and, you know, knock on wood, has not come back to this day, and it's been over 20 years now.
And when you kind of tell people that, when you're in a family portion of the intervention, the pre-intervention, and you let them know that, hey, listen, you can get to this point in your life where it is kind of removed for you, do you see skepticism in people?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's like foreign, because it's a pattern that's been set. You know, like in my personal addiction, you know, I was doing crystal meth daily, you know, for 4 years. So how do you tell somebody that's doing meth every day for 4 years that, you know, they could go, you know, a week without doing it? You know, it seems impossible. So and the urge won't be there for you. And that's completely impossible. I mean, it took a lot of work in that 60 days. I mean, it was a painful 60 days of nightmares and waking up in night sweats and, you know, just a lot of physical pain, emotional pain in that first 60 days. But I did a lot of praying, a lot of meditating, and it was lifted. But it just doesn't seem possible when you're in the midst of your disease.
You know, we had one of the questions that was asked online also was the fact that, and we had kind of breezed over this last night, and I'd had a response to it today. One of the mothers was asking in regards to her son and that's in jail, should she continue when he gets out? He wants to go to treatment, and he wants to have her pay for treatment, $15,000. And he's already been in four treatment centers. He just went through 7 months of jail, and she's more inclined to have him go to a sober living environment and have him DOC, have him, you know, put there. He's going to be on probation when he gets out. Have him put on probation there at the sober living environment and get him some outpatient counseling. Do you think that's probably better of a solution than somebody that's tried to go through treatment four times? Don't you think at this point that person would probably know what they need to do?
Yeah, I would love to talk to her because that would be, you know, from the little that you discussed with me, that would probably be what I would recommend is, you know, there's no need. He's already detoxed, hopefully, getting out of prison. You know, you never know these days, but hopefully.
Absolutely. Yeah, well, I think, you know, it's a pretty secure facility, and I can tell you that, you know, it's in Broward County Jail, and I could probably say that it's not happening. I think he actually is cleaned up, and I think he has 7 or 8 or 9 months together right now. But again, when you get out, you know, your thinking automatically goes back. You know, that excitement of getting out brings you right back to that excitement of wanting to get high. And if you don't know how to deal with that feeling, what are you going to probably do? Go use.
Yeah, yeah. And without the structure and the consequences, I mean, I love, you know, once you get somebody in the system, as we all know, jail is not the solution. And this individual that has gone through numerous treatment facilities and has not surrendered to their disease and recovery, they haven't hit a rock bottom. So I'm hoping that this experience and their time spent in jail has given them that opportunity to sit back and look at their life and say, I don't want to end up back there, and I am going to do everything to fight to be in recovery and surrender to my disease. And a lot of times that's not the case. Sometimes it takes numerous times in jail. So what I would recommend for this person would be that she, you know, doesn't waste money for another inpatient, you know, 30, 60, 90 days of treatment, but getting him into a heavily structured sober living since he's been clean for this amount of time. He has the tools. He has the information. We just got to get him to work it. And what the most important thing is, I think, that he needs to know is that his family from this day forward is going to support the law and the probation that he is going to be, you know, sentenced to. And if he is in breach, if he breaks his probation, if he gets loaded one time, they will be the ones that will be turning him in back to the court to go back and do more time. Because there can be a zero tolerance. You're either compliant in the program of recovery or you're non-compliant. There's no gray area. So I would recommend to this family to put a contract together that this is what we're prepared to do. If you are working your program in the sober living house, going to meetings, working the steps with your sponsor, doing everything that you're supposed to, I would even, you know, turn that up and maybe get them a case manager. You know, have them work with a case manager for a year so the family aren't the police. You know, they're not the ones watching over him where he's getting, you know, random testing. He's having somebody that he calls into that's a mediator for the family, and they just call the case manager. So they work that way together as a team on his recovery, and they ask him, what would be some of the consequences? What would be one of your worst nightmares that you would never want to face that we would be able to help turn into a reality if you pick up a drink or a drug again? because next time, you know, we're fearful that, you know, we're lucky he ended up in jail. I worked with this one family, and, you know, it was devastating. I mean, the family had to put their son in jail, and while he was in jail, there was a bad batch of drugs out on the streets, and two of his friends overdosed and died. So while they're still alive and breathing, we have a chance to guide them to, you know, to recovery. And a lot of people look at it and say, you know, it's like, you know, leading a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. My job as an interventionist is to get them so darn thirsty that they're going to drink. Okay. They're going to surrender to their recovery.
And I think, you know, that being said, we are going to have to go to a break, Ken. But that being said, you know, you have to be able to really pull out all of the people that are making it easier for them to continue on the way that they are. And the only way that you're going to get rid of the enablers is to really show them and make them aware of what they're doing to the person that's actually using.
That's it. That's it.
And you know something, great start of the show. What we're going to do, Ken, is we're going to go to our break, and when we come back, we're going to talk more about, of course, intervention, and we'll put the phone number out there, and we're open for calls, and if anybody needs help, we're here for them, and, you know, that's what we're about. We're here to be able to be, you know, helpful to people and carry a message.
At Brain Training Centers of Florida, our goal is to help you discover and unleash your brain's complete potential. We employ brain state conditioning, an individually tailored method of balancing, harmonizing, and optimizing the brain. The Brain State Technologies method involves collecting and analyzing an individual's brain waves and producing personalized exercises to balance and harmonize the brain. This system is at least 100 times faster than most of the systems available today. Brain Training Centers of Florida is licensed and certified to operate the brain training system provided by Brain State Technologies. If you have questions about the Brain State Conditioning Technology or to schedule an appointment, please call Jeff Cole at 305-796-6979 or go online to braintrainingcentersfl.com and unleash your brain's complete potential. Call 305-796-6979 or go online to braintrainingcentersfl.com. Do you know someone struggling with an addiction to alcohol, prescription medications, or other drugs? Crossroads Center Antigua provides comprehensive detoxification, treatment, and continuing care services with a holistic body, mind, and spirit approach to recovery. Founded by Eric Clapton, Crossroads Center is recognized as one of the top 10 international programs for addiction services. Crossroads provides quality, affordable care for individuals and their families. Remember, recovery is possible and is often life-saving. Call now for a free confidential assessment and speak with an admissions counselor at the Crossroads Center, Antigua. Call toll-free, 888-452-0091. That's 888-452-0091. Or go online to crossroadsantigua.org.
I'm Ken Seeley from Intervention 911. Every Monday night at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, you can listen to John Hollis and myself on Holistic Lifestyle Radio Show, Ask the Interventionist. Millions of Americans suffer from some form of addiction that affects the people that love them. I want to take this opportunity to help their families and friends understand the addiction and fight it with all the tools necessary and get their loved ones and them into a program of recovery. Again, this is Ken Seeley. I look forward to answering your questions live on Monday nights, 10 p.m., on Holistic Lifestyle Radio, Ask the Interventionist Show. Please call 888-565-1470. Or you can also email your questions by going to holisticlifestylesradio.com. I look forward to hearing from you and fighting this war on addiction together.
You are listening to the Holistic Lifestyles Radio Show, brought to you by Holistic Lifestyles Radio Incorporated. For more information about the show and our sponsors, be sure to visit our website, holisticlifestylesradio.com. That's holisticlifestylesradio.com. Now back to today's show.
All Holistic Lifestyles Radio Show is what you're listening to. And, of course, we want to welcome everybody to the show, and we want to welcome our listeners on InterRooms.com. InterRooms.com is listening to us live right now. We're in our chat room. And also want to thank our listeners on Facebook and Twitter, podcast, and, of course, all of the social media sites like, of course, Mice Overseen, and, of course, our listeners on WNN 1470 AM here in South Florida. And I wanted to, bring Ken back, and we're going to sit and discuss more about intervention. Ken, welcome back to the show. And it looks like we do have a phone call coming in, and I'm going to get them on the air with us right now. And just give me a second to get Ken back up here. Ken, you with us?
I'm here.
All right, very good. We got a caller that's calling in, so let me see what we can discuss. Hello, caller. You're on the air with Ken Scully.
Yes.
How can I help you?
Hi. My name is Mary, and I have a sister who's 49, and she lives with my parents, and they're elderly. They're somewhat disabled, and she does help with them. But she has a bad alcohol problem, and it's not that she drinks every day. She goes away with a boyfriend, say, for the weekend, but when she comes back, it's like she still has alcohol with her and then continues to abuse it the next few days afterward, and she gets abusive with my parents, like verbally, and is just in a state of where it just drives them crazy, but they depend on her for her help in the home because my mother has emphysema. Both of them have breathing issues, and my mother's just recently recovering from a hip injury, a hip replacement. So they're downsizing in about 8 months. They're going to be moving to a smaller place, and my baby sister and I are trying to make the decision as whether my middle sister should go with them and continue help or find help for her. She's been unable to keep a job and hasn't worked a job in years. Her job is basically to take care of them.
And it sounds like to drink.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Ken, what would
it's really hard to get through to my mother, especially, because she can do very little. She's not in a wheelchair yet, but she can't walk too far and is out of breath. And so she does the laundry and the housekeeping or whatever, but again, 4 days out of the week, she's, you know, like, got a buzz going or, you know, she's drunk. So I don't know if we should try to, like, Marchman Act her into treatment or we just don't know.
So you must be in Florida then with the Marchman Act.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
Miami.
I love that state. I mean, you're so fortunate to be there because it does have that law to help protect the alcoholic and addict from themselves. And it's one of the few states that have that law, so you're fortunate to be in there. But I would, you know, if I was put in that situation, I would look for alternatives for your parents, for their caretaker. I don't think that if she's in her alcoholism and in her disease, I don't think it's appropriate. And I love it because I see this a lot in my private practice where the addict feels like they're taking care of their elderly parents or parent, and in their minds, they believe that they're the caretaker. And in all reality, the outsiders, the other siblings, and it comes to a point where the parent even starts to realize it, that they are not being caregiven, but they're being, you know, the caregivers as the parents, and they are, you know, taking care of the alcoholic. And it just becomes a living nightmare for all people involved. So if they're at the time of downsizing and looking at other opportunities, I would get with your other siblings and seek another way for them to have a caregiver versus having your sister, unless, you know, you sit your sister down and and intervene on her and let her know that you see these signs, you see that, you know, there's been problems, and the bulk of the problems are rooted from, you know, you believe, the drinking, and is she willing to seek treatment and seek help for that and get into a program of recovery? And you're more than likely going to hear no, that they're not willing, and you need more of, to create more of a rock bottom. So first and foremost, I think from what your question was, you know, about, you know, taking care of your parents at this point, and my recommendation was be it's an unhealthy environment, and I would not recommend that, you know, she becomes the primary caregiver to them if she's not in recovery and has an alcohol problem.
Well, we have discussed it with her, and she says that when they downsize that she's going to live with the boyfriend. My sister, my baby sister and I's concern is that things don't work out, and then where is she going to go? And the parents enabling again and bringing her back in to where it, I'm trying to decide if we should seek help for her now. She's been in treatment several times, and she knows the program, and she doesn't want to go back to the 12-step fellowship.
I'm sorry. Could be embarrassment and shame and guilt, you know, to walk back into the room.
But would maybe going to, I heard about this act and whatever, have her go into like a sober living, you know, or something like that. It's not affordable at this time with the family for treatment again for her. It's just not there.
Yeah, well, when I usually work with either the Marchman Act or the Baker Act in Florida, I usually get legal advice working through that and hire or have the families that I work with hire a law firm or an attorney to guide them through that because, you know, the addict is really manipulative and usually knows ways around it. So by hiring an attorney to guide the family through that, usually, you know, I've only seen it once in my experience where the addict was able to get away from it. But normally they get mandated 90 days into treatment. Is there anything else to help create a rock bottom, you know, for your sister? Is there, you know, it sounds like she hasn't surrendered. It sounds like she's been to treatment numerous times. It sounds like she has the tools necessary, but she's refusing to use them. In my experience, what that means is that the addict hasn't hit that rock bottom. Somebody has been, you know, supporting her in keeping her in her disease. So we have to figure out what would be her rock bottom. Every single human being has a rock bottom. But what would it be for her? What would it be that she would say to you right now, I could not live without this? What would this be?
That's the question, because she feels that because she takes care of them through the week, that or whatever day if they when she leaves with the boyfriend for the few days, or what, that she has earned this. And then he drinks, and she drinks, and I think
I think the question is, and Ken made a great point, what could you guys say, well, hey, listen, you know, we're going to throw you out of here if you don't change your ways. Is that something that's going to help her get to her bottom?
No, because she says she's going with the boyfriend.
Well, I mean, on a permanent basis. Am I getting you right when I'm saying this, Ken?
Yeah, you're right on, John. So What I'm saying is, what is it in her life that she would say, I could not live without this? Would it be the family support, without the boyfriend, without, what is it?
Maybe
we
not seeing her daughter.
Seeing her daughter. There you go. That's a good one. That's a good one. See, I love this.
She doesn't see her often, but she's supposed to see her every Sunday for a few hours. And maybe taking that away because I know that it's affecting my niece. She's 14
now. How old is her daughter? 14.
She's 14, and I know that she knows. I know that she can tell when her mom has, her mom tries to make sure she's home for the Sunday visit, but she's still hungover or whatever, like, you know, for the visit. She has to know.
Okay. What I'm going to ask you to do, and this is really, really important. I mean, it's one of the most important things that you could do right now, is help your niece get into Alateen. Are you familiar with the program Alateen?
Yeah, I've heard of it. Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's really important that you get her into Alateen and some kind of counseling for herself, because it's a proven fact, if there's a parent that is an alcoholic or an addict from the ages of 7 to 12, they have a program at the Betty Ford Center and other places around the country are starting to follow it. It's called the Children's Program, because at 7 years old, they're already affected by the disease. It sets a pattern with these children. And so if she's 14, she's already, you know, learned these type of behaviors that her mother is demonstrating. So Alateen and counseling is going to be really important for her to break that cycle that's already being ingrained in her. So I would highly recommend that you support her in any way that you can to make sure that she gets the help that she desperately needs.
And we're going to have to take a break. Why don't you hold on the phone for us, Mary, and we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll finish up, and I'm sure you can ask any additional questions that you might have for Ken. And just give us a minute, and we'll be back right after this message.
Okay.
Do you know someone struggling with an addiction to alcohol, prescription medications, or other drugs? Crossroads Center Antigua provides comprehensive detoxification, treatment, and continuing care services with a holistic body, mind, and spirit approach to recovery. Founded by Eric Clapton, Crossroads Center is recognized as one of the top 10 international programs for addiction services. Crossroads provides quality, affordable care for individuals and their families. Remember, recovery is possible and is often life-saving. Call now for a free confidential assessment and speak with an admissions counselor at the Crossroads Center, Antigua. Call toll-free, 888-452-0091. That's 888-452-0091, or go online to crossroadsantigua.org.
My name is Janice, and I'm from Rapid City, South Dakota. Willard Water is a pretty big deal around these parts. I've been using Willard Water for many years, and I can honestly say it's changed my life. A few years ago, I developed some early symptoms of arthritis. Over time, my pain got worse and worse. I went to my doctor. He prescribed the usual assortment of drugs and therapies, but they did little or nothing to alleviate the pain. I kept thinking, I'm too young to have this much pain, to be confined to a rocking chair for the rest of my life. So I soaked my hands in Willard Water, and it relieved my pain. In no time, I was back to living a healthy, happy life. We're expecting our first grandchild soon. Thanks to Willard Water, I'll be able to lift him up and enjoy our playtime.
To learn more about the benefits of Willard Water, call us at 888-379-4552 or visit our website at drwillard.com. That's drwillard.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration, and Willard Water is not intended to treat, diagnose, cure, or prevent any diseases.
You are listening to the Holistic Lifestyles Radio Show, brought to you by Holistic Lifestyles Radio Incorporated. For more information about the show and our sponsors, be sure to visit our website, holisticlifestylesradio.com. That's holisticlifestylesradio.com. Now, back to today's show.
All right, welcome back to the show. Of course, you're listening to Holistic Lifestyles Radio Show, and we're taking inbound phone calls tonight for Ask the Interventionist, and we have, of course, every Monday night at 10 o'clock, Ken Seeley from Intervention 911 is going to be taking live phone calls, and you can reach us at 347-637-3655. Again, that number is 347-637-3655. Ask questions live for Ken, and I understand Mary is still on the line with us.
Yes, I'm here.
Ken, you had some you had an additional question for Ken, you said.
Yeah, Ken. she's lived with her father and stepmother, and they're very supportive of her. And since she's gotten more and more aware, she doesn't want to come for the weekend, or if she comes, she only comes for a couple hours. But I just feel that maybe if she, like, wrote her mother or confronted her mother about how she feels about her drinking, maybe that would help, because she's never done that.
Yes, and I think that's a really great idea and a great step to take, but normally when we conduct interventions, we want to create as many scenarios as possible. So that would be one of the ones on the list that you as a family have become unified. And if your sister chooses not to be in recovery and be compliant with the program of recovery, then that would be one of the consequences. Then her daughter will not be a part of her life anymore. She doesn't need to be a part of an unhealthy environment any longer. And Alateen will teach her how to build that strength within, and thank God she's with her father, you know, to, you
yes.
know, to have that structure part in her life. But
yes.
still, her mother is her mother. And so that would be one of the things of creating the rock bottom. So now you see where I'm going with this, is we need to paint a picture that is so devastating to your sister that she says, I would rather be in recovery than my daughter not talking to me, my parents not allowing me back in the house, my siblings not talking to me, you know, and whatever else. You know, like I said, what else can we bring to the table that could be her rock bottom?
That's
Is there any other ideas? You're doing great.
You see, you're creating, and I love it, Ken, because you're helping. You just actually painted the picture on how to structure this person's bottom.
So would that eliminate her calling her every night as well, her daughter?
Absolutely. She will not be allowed to call her every night. It's an unhealthy environment until she's compliant in a program of recovery. So, you know, that would be part of it. Not being able to call her every night, not being able to see her once a week, not being able to, you know, contact her siblings, not living with her parents. I'm sure as you start digging in and start thinking, what are the most important things in her life? And you start looking at them and seeing how you, as a family unit, could get unified on stepping back and saying, I'm not going to participate in this unhealthy behavior any longer. I'm not going to participate in your disease any longer. You're an adult. You have the right to choose to stay in your disease, but we, as your family, have the right also to not be a part of your disease any longer.
I think
how that works.
I see it, but she lies so much, and if she was just doing, say, going back to meetings, she's done all that before and drank and lied about it. And it's like my mother has blinders on, or a lot of times she doesn't know, whereas other people, like myself or my baby sister, know. You know, sometimes she just thinks she's, like, you know, very hyper or manic or I don't know. And she has blinders on, and you know.
Is
that a way of, like, we're talking about a way of just getting her to at least surrender and try to find a county run program, 12-step, treatment place for her, and use the motivation of that until she completes it. And in recovery, that she won't be talking to her daughter or seeing her daughter. I mean, this would be something I would have to approach, of course, the father and the stepmother about. Correct?
Correct. Yep. You would want to, what you do prior to even sitting her down, it's important to, you know, work with an interventionist, you know, work with a professional, because you want to make sure that you're taking the steps appropriately. You don't want to just, you know, throw everything against the wall and see what sticks. You want to, you know, work through the steps. You want to make sure that, you know, if she chooses not to be compliant with a program of recovery, maybe, you know, just by her not going and being a part of living with your parents any longer, you know, because you, as the healthy sibling, see it as being more damaging. You know, now mom and dad, instead of worrying about their own health, are worrying about her and her addiction.
Or she's driving them crazy. That's why we've made plans when they downsize for them to try to, we're going to try to find a place that they will be closer to me so that I can be there.
Well,
so
hey, I got a question here. How does the family members, like your baby sister you were talking about, and other family members, are they open to, you know, doing something with you in regards to addiction? Have you talked about those issues before, about maybe doing an intervention with the person?
Most definitely. We even tried ourselves, not with an interventionist, but it didn't work well. But, you know, we did get her to go to meetings. She went to a meetings a few weeks, and then it was like, you know, off. So, you know.
Well, I will be... Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead, Ken.
You know, we're going to be doing this, you know, quite regularly on Monday night. So if you need your, you know, your sister to call in or your ex-brother-in-law to call in and create a scenario, this is a great place to, you know, to get those questions answered. And I'm available. I'm here to answer those questions. So if you need to get them on the call with us, you know, I am here for you. I want to see where, you know, all of you are in a place of recovery and health. So I just want you to know
great.
That if you talk
thank
to them throughout the week, I'm here for you.
Well, one of the things I was
going to
suggest something to you, Mary, if you'd like, you know, Ken, I think we're planning to have Ken back on next Monday. Is that correct, Ken?
Correct.
Why don't you see if you can get your family together? You have the phone number to call in at, and you can have them all call in, and I can bring everybody on the line at one time, and we can all chat about it right on the air.
Okay, well, I'll try to do that. I haven't spoken to my niece's father and stepmother in years, so it's...
Well, you start with the ones that, you know, are closest to you and bring them on, and we'll see what they have to say about it and see if they have any, you know, questions that they want to have answered by Ken. Because I think, you know, you just make...
I think the most important might be my mother, who's kind of, you know...
Ken, are you open to that, Ken, for next week?
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. We could show the listeners how to do a pre-intervention. I could work with your family members and pretty much do a pre-intervention and get everybody on the same page before moving forward.
Is that
okay? Well, then that's something I will definitely work this week to do, and then I guess I'll contact somebody, whether it's, you know, I will definitely call back.
Why don't you do that with other people? You got a pen and a piece of paper?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to give you a phone number. It's 877
799-8773.
And that's the number at Holistic Lifestyles Radio. That's the office. You can call there from 9 to 5 daily. And any questions that you might have, we'll get it all together behind the scenes. And then next week, we'll have it ready for Ken to work with.
Okay. Thank you so much for your help, guys. I really appreciate it because we've been in this mess for years, and it's really coming to a head because they're older now. And it just breaks our hearts, my sister, baby sister and I. And it breaks our heart for her because she's 49 and, you know, doesn't have a life.
You know something, you can help her get there, and we thank you for your phone call tonight, Mary, and we'll look forward to hearing from you through the week, and we'll see if we can put this together so that way it can unfold in front of all of the listeners, and they can hear exactly what happens in the pre-intervention with the family and how everybody's denial has to be broken. So we'll be back next week with this. Make sure you give us a call at the office tomorrow, okay?
Okay, thank you. Love your show.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
Okay.
Bye now.
Bye, Ken. Bye,
Beth. You know, Ken, I believe that was amazing, man. And I, you know, I hate to say it, but it took up a lot of time. But at the same time, it didn't take up a lot of time because that's what the cause was all about. That's what this show is all about, is being able to have people hear exactly what the process is. And you painted a picture that was unbelievable. Well, I mean, what do you think of that whole conversation as a whole? When you now get done with that and you start to reflect on it, what do you think?
Yeah, this is why I do this work. It's because, you know, you get her to understand bits and pieces of it, and then you help her build her team. And she's going to need that team to stay unified with her on fighting this addiction. And once everybody becomes unified and we have the complete team on the same page, that's when you approach the addict and get them to surrender to recovery. That's when you get the addict to hit a rock bottom. And what a gift if we could do that and have the listeners hear how we do that conference call next week. I mean, that's just amazing. That's why I do this type of work, is because, you know, it takes that initial caller. And I want to, you know, thank Mary for, you know, taking the effort to, you know, picking up that phone and calling in, because that's what it takes in every single family. And it doesn't have to be on the air, and it doesn't have to be on television. You know, it just has to be that person that, you know, wants to see a change. And that person, we help them guide the rest of their team, the rest of their army, to create this battle against the addiction. So it's amazing. It's just amazing to watch it unfold.
I love it. And we're going to go to our last break here, Ken. And when we come back, got a couple of email questions that I'm going to ask you. And then we'll end for the night. And you never know, Ken, we might just have to turn this into a two-hour one.
Yeah, it's exciting.
All right, folks, we're going to go to a break. And when we come back, more Ken Seeley, more Intervention 911, and make those questions and make those phone calls and get the help that you need. We'll be back right after this message.
Do you know someone struggling with an addiction to alcohol, prescription medications, or other drugs? Crossroads Center Antigua provides comprehensive detoxification, treatment, and continuing care services with a holistic body, mind, and spirit approach to recovery. Founded by Eric Clapton, Crossroads Center is recognized as one of the top 10 international programs for addiction services. Crossroads provides quality, affordable care for individuals and their families. Remember, recovery is possible and it's often life-saving. Call now for a free confidential assessment and speak with an admissions counselor at the Crossroads Center, Antigua. Call toll-free, 888-452-0091. That's 888-452-0091. Or go online to crossroadsantigua.org. Someone struggling with an addiction to alcohol, prescription medications, or other drugs? Crossroads Center Antigua provides comprehensive detoxification, treatment, and continuing care services with a holistic body, mind, and spirit approach to recovery. Founded by Eric Clapton, Crossroads Center is recognized as one of the top 10 international programs for addiction services. Crossroads provides quality, affordable care for individuals and their families. Remember, recovery is possible and it's often life-saving. Call now for a free confidential assessment and speak with an admissions counselor at the Crossroads Center, Antigua. Call toll-free, 888-452-0091. That's 888-452-0091. Or go online to crossroadsantigua.org. Lifestyles Radio Show, brought to you by Holistic Lifestyles Radio Incorporated. For more information about the show and our sponsors, be sure to visit our website, holisticlifestylesradio.com. That's holisticlifestylesradio.com. Now back to today's show.
Mm-hmm.
Right, welcome back. Of course, we are on Holistic Lifestyles Radio Show, and of course, we are on our nighttime shows now. We added 5 additional shows. We're on the air 15 hours a week now, Monday through Friday. You can listen to us from 2 to 3 in the afternoon, and then again from 10 to 11 every night. And every night, Monday through Friday and Sunday nights, 9 to midnight, it's all about addiction recovery, and it's all about how we can help people that might not necessarily know the message to hear the message. And at the same token, the people that are out there that want to hear a great message of hope and want to hear new ways that they can recover and new tools for their toolbox, that's what we're here for. And, of course, I want to thank Ken Seeley from Intervention 911 for being here. Ken, if folks wanted to give you a call, where could they reach you?
My office number is toll-free 866-888-4911.
And one of the things that I was looking at, you know, it's funny because I was checking out on Facebook. I was shot a question, and this was a lady. She had said that she had been to Al-Anon. I guess she was listening, Al-Anon and the different things with Alateen, and she felt somewhat unwanted. Do you ever find that family members that go into the 12-step process, they sometimes feel a little bit weird and alienated, and they don't want to go back because they don't feel right going there?
Oh, yeah, that is so normal. And that's why, you know, when you get out of treatment, especially, they say to go to 90 meetings in 90 days is, you know, I would say pretty much every treatment facility in the country or the world, their discharge plan is part of 90 meetings in 90 days. And part of that is going to different meetings, not just, you know, that's why it's one a day. So you're going to the different types of meetings that are out there, big book studies, speaker meetings, sharing meetings. So you get involved with, you know, younger, you know, if you're a young adult, then you go to young adult meetings. If you're, you know, if you're older and you're an alcoholic, then you go to AA meetings versus, you know, crystal meth meetings, because, you know, it's so normal. It is so normal to walk into a meeting, and I did it for 4 years. I walked into meetings for 4 years and could not identify. And so it's normal to walk in and feel not connected and not identify. So it's really important to get out there and do your research and find some other meetings, because you will find a meeting and somebody share the message of exactly what you're going through, and that will be the person that you should ask to be your sponsor and work with, and ask them what other meetings do they go to during the week so you could go to those meetings. Because it's not easy finding the right meeting or finding the right connection to participate in recovery. It's actually one of the most difficult things to do.
And one of the things that I understand, and, you know, I was looking at another situation here, Al-Anon and Nar-Anon, it's pretty much the same process for the family members that they have to go through too, correct? They have to kind of get used to being there. They're going to, you know, it was posed here that I felt somewhat unwanted, what this lady said, going to Al-Anon and Nar-Anon.
Yeah, and that's, you know, like I said, you know, that's because she went to a meeting that she didn't feel comfortable in. But if she continues, and what happens in these meetings is they build, you know, family. You know, they build, you know, people that they have relationships with. And so when somebody comes in, you know, they aren't always as friendly as we're supposed to be, because I'm in many different 12-step programs, and, you know, and sometimes we just aren't as friendly as we're supposed to be with the newcomer walking in the door. So if that's the case, I apologize for them, and I apologize for my behavior, because that's not the way it's supposed to be. But if you continue to go and seek out other meetings, you will find the one. You know, I can't stress that enough. You will find one that you connect to, and you will know once you're there that you finally feel at home. You finally feel that people understand the misery that you've been living in for this long period of time with the addiction.
And I think it's safe to say also that, you know, sometimes I know when I first came into the 12-step process, I was like one big nerve ending. You know what I mean? So if somebody was looking at me, they probably weren't even looking at me. They were looking past me. But I had this image that they were looking at me because I was just that important.
Yep. Yep.
You know what I mean?
And with Al-Anon, like you said when you first started the conversation tonight, you know, I was on a phone with a family member, and that's what it was about. It was with a mother that, you know, her daughter's finishing up 60 days of treatment, and I highly recommended that the mother does, you know, 3 hours, three meetings a week, and, you know, and check into, you know, a codependency inpatient treatment facility. And, you know, she did great. She did check into the codependency two-week treatment facility. She did extremely well in there. But when she got out, she didn't follow her discharge plan, which is three Al-Anon meetings a week. And that's what I recommended before even going into the inpatient. And I couldn't stress enough to her today. And that's what took 2 hours, is helping her understand the importance of her role. If her 15-year-old daughter gets out of treatment and she has not changed her behaviors, her daughter really doesn't have a chance, even if she wants to change and has the tools to live a different life. If mom hasn't changed and she's living in mom's home, in her environment, then it's going to be a lot easier to fall back into the addiction than it is for her to fight and stay a part of a program of recovery.
Well, you know something, Ken, believe it or not, we blew through an hour already. And what a great show. And I'm really glad that lady, Mary, called in, because she brought a whole lot of insight through your wisdom, you know, of change in the family unit. And I believe that that's what this show is all about. And I want to thank you for spending the time, the quality time, with our listeners tonight, and letting them know that there is alternatives to, you know, what they're going through. They don't have to go through the misery. There is ways that you can help them to get through the process and have healthy change come to the family.
Yeah, this is a godsend. This is exciting.
Well, I want to thank you again. Again, if you're just tuning in, you're hearing the last bit of it, you can listen to the archive show about 10 minutes from now. It's going to upload itself, and it will be an archive show, and you can pass that around to your friends and your family and people that, of course, want to hear more information on the approach to helping people recover through intervention and through the 12-step process and many other approaches that Ken's going to be talking about over the series of the next month, 2 months, maybe 3 months, maybe even longer than that, huh, Ken?
Yeah, it's exciting. The more people we can help, the better off the world is. So I'm here as long as it takes.
Absolutely. Well, we thank you again, and we look forward to having you back on next week. And for everybody that's listening, remember, every day we're above dirt. God's blessed us. And we'll look forward to speaking with you tomorrow at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And, of course, it's Spirituality Tuesday. We're looking forward to getting a hold of John Diven and having him on the air with us from the end. So we'll look forward to talking to you then.
If you suffer from sleeplessness, Sound Pillow Meditation Therapy can help you through periods of unease and restlessness. With Sound Meditation Therapy, designed to help you reach a state of relaxation and to achieve the rejuvenating effects of a good night's sleep. This personal audio device can give you the ability to get a comfortable night's sleep by providing a calming, soothing distraction from disturbing thoughts and silences. Sound Pillow Therapy allows the mind to shut down, the body to relax, and the spirit to heal. Sound Pillow Meditation Therapy can also be a powerful tool for relapse prevention in the addiction field, becoming what one therapist called a positive addiction, providing a healthy alternative to addictive behaviors. Sound Pillow Meditation Therapy provides new insights to recovering addicts about the source of their cravings, resentments, and fears. Let Sound Pillow Therapy become a daily recovery tool, regardless whether you're a newcomer or in long-term recovery. Sound Pillow can help the spirit and the mind to be centered. To have the peace of mind and the rest that leads to good mind, body, and spirit health, contact SoundPillow today. Toll free, 877-846-6488. That's 877-846-6488. Or go online to soundpillow.com. Again, that's soundpillow.com. WWNN, Pompano Beach.
My name is Charles Beckert. Do you work overtime? If you work in excess of 40 hours per week, your employer is required to pay you for your overtime. Unless you're specifically exempt under the Fair Labor Standards Act, you are entitled to overtime at time and one half. Let us help you get paid for what you've earned. Is your boss ripping you off? 954-941-8363 or visit us at the web, southfloridaattorney.com.
The hiring of an attorney is an important decision that should not be based solely upon advertising. Ask for free written information about the firm's qualifications and experience. Are you ready to create a healing change of your mind, body, and spirit? Brian L. Shafflin graduated from City University of New York at Queens College with a degree in psychology in 1980. He then went on to complete his master's in social work from Hunter College in 1982. Brian has been licensed and board certified in Florida since his move in 1994. For over 25 years, Brian has been providing counseling and psychotherapy for children, adolescents, and adults. His areas of expertise include problems related to addiction, depression, anxiety, and trauma. His goal is to create a therapeutic atmosphere where clients can feel safe addressing the areas in their lives that cause imbalance and stress. Brian's belief is that each person is unique and should be viewed with a holistic approach, balancing the needs of the mind, body, and spirit. Call 561-843-0152 to talk with Brian L. Shafflin today or go online at briansTherapy.com. Again, call Brian Shafflin, 561-843-0152, to create a healing change with commitment, integrity, and new solutions. And Brian accepts Medicare and most insurances. Call 561-843-0152, online at briansTherapy.com. Education, dedication, and personal growth. That's the foundation for recovery at the 12-Step Fellowship Living Facility. With locations in Margate and Fort Lauderdale, the 12-Step Living Facility is an oasis for anyone focused on growth, self-awareness, and living a sober, healthy, prosperous life. We use the 12-Step Program to help residents in their personal inner journey to become committed, self-motivated, and to live an alcohol and drug-free life. Visit the 12-Step Living Facility today, 1180 Southwest 26th Avenue in Fort Lauderdale and 451 Banks Road in Margate. Call 954-972-9495. That's 954-972-9495. Online at fellowshipliving.com. This is the Holistic Lifestyles Radio Show, brought to you by Holistic Lifestyles Radio Incorporated. Join us every day on AM 1470 WNN, South Florida's Health and Wealth Network. For more information about the show and our sponsors, be sure to visit our website, HolisticLifestylesRadio.com. That's HolisticLifestylesRadio.com. You can also find us on our Twitter podcast, Facebook, and BlogTalkRadio.com. Now, today's program.
All right, welcome to tonight's show. And I'm John Hollis with Holistic Lifestyles Radio Show. And, of course, it's through the week, and it's through the evenings, and it's 10 to 11. And we're, of course, all about addiction recovery at night. And what we're going to be talking about tonight is, of course, one day at a time, 1 minute at a time, and how we can get through without using 1 minute at a time. And I want to thank our sponsors for tonight's show. And, of course, Clapton's Crossroads of Antigua is sponsoring tonight's show. We want to thank them. And, of course, we want to thank all of the rest of the sponsors that make this possible, like the First Step Sober House and Sound Pillow and all the rest of the people that, you know, stand behind us and to help us to carry a message of hope. And, of course, Willard Water and all the rest of the folks. There's a lot of people out there that, you know, have, over the last 2 years, supported Holistic Lifestyles Radio Show to make these broadcasts possible. And we're now 15 hours a week, and we got some great shows. And, you know, Ken Seeley's on with us on Monday nights. And, of course, We have Dr. Larry Goodman during the afternoon, and we have on Tuesday nights the Addict's Mom. They're going to be back with us. And, of course, on Tuesday afternoon we do a spirituality, and it's usually with John Biden from the Hanley Center or folks like John, you know, Reverend Leo Booth, some other people that we've had on that show. And, of course, Wednesday night, what we're going to be doing from now on is talking about recovery and the 12 steps and what recovery means to us and, you know, how do we work a program 1 minute at a time, getting through the day, you know, 1 minute at a time, you know, and there's, and I believe that we, you know, I need to live in the minute as much as possible. So when I get outside that minute, I tend to get a little crazy. So, you know, I get the plan, but I don't get the plan results. And most importantly, you know, I get to carry a message of hope that, you know, if you're hopeless, you know, there's a lot of people that were hopeless. And today we're together and we're working a program of recovery and we're living in the moment and we're carrying a message to other people. And I believe that that's what God's gift to me through my addiction was, that I get to be able to carry a message of hope to people that might be suffering today. And, you know, sometimes I'm starting to find out it isn't just about helping addicts or alcoholics and helping people in general that are suffering and hurting. And, you know, we're there to be able to help people. And that's the mission. And I'm glad that we're a part of it. You know, Holistic Lifestyles Radio also wants to make some announcements the April 28th through the 30th. Myself and Scott Armbruster from Sound Pillow will be out at the event out at the Palms Resort in Las Vegas, Nevada. That's next week. Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, I'll be broadcasting live in the afternoon from 2 to 3, and I'll be broadcasting live from 10 to 11 from Las Vegas. And, of course, you can tune in and listen to the show live while we're broadcasting from Las Vegas. We're going to have a pretty good show. 3 days out there, and we're out there at the Holistic Treatment Conference, and we're looking forward to it. There's going to be a large gathering out there, and we're all looking forward to being there. And you can go to recoveryevents.com to find out more information on that. And also coming up June 26th in Toyota Park in Chicago, we got the Clapton's Crossroads Guitar Festival, and it's going to be Mr. Eric Clapton and friends. It's a whole day of fun in the sun and a whole lot of music. ZZ Top, Eric Clapton, Sheryl Crow. There's a lot of people that are, a lot of folks that are in the music industry that support that and do it and dedicate that time for Mr. Clapton, and he's able to then take the 100% of the proceeds from that event and give it back to people. And over since 1997, since Crossroads opened up, they've been able to help people to get into treatment. They've been able to earmark over $2 million to help people that might not necessarily been able to get there, have been able to get there through the support of the foundation, the Crossroads Foundation and Crossroads Center of Antigua and Mr. Clapton and the Crossroads Festival. So if you can go to crossroadsfestival.com, it's crossroadsguitarfestival.com, please check that out. I think it's important that, you know, people take a look at it. 100% of the funds go to, of course, helping people to find treatment and get into recovery, and I you know, I ask you to check out the website. It's a great opportunity to help. Also, I want to take this time to let you know that Dawn the Broken Picker Fixer will be on tomorrow. She's on, on Friday at 2 o'clock, and we're looking forward to having Dawn on. Tomorrow we are going to have Willard Water, a great opportunity to find out about one of the best water products I ever found on the market. We're going to be on with them tomorrow, and they're going to be telling us about how it works. And John Willard III is going to be on with us, and we're going to be talking about how, you know, water is the elixir of life, and if we're not putting enough in us in the right kind and the right balances, you know, we're really, you know, not, we're missing the boat, so to speak. So we're going to find out more information on that with John Willard III tomorrow at 2 o'clock. What we're going to do is we're going to go to our first break, and when we come back, I'm going to talk to you about where I came from, what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. We'll be back right after this message.
You know someone struggling with an addiction to alcohol, prescription medication, or other drugs.
Crossroads Center Antigua provides comprehensive detoxification, treatment, and continuing care services with a holistic body, mind, and spirit approach to recovery. Founded by Eric Clapton, Crossroads Center is recognized as one of the top 10 international programs for addiction services. Crossroads provides quality, affordable care for individuals and their families. Remember, recovery is possible and it's often life-saving. Call now for a free confidential assessment and speak with an admissions counselor at the Crossroads Center, Antigua. Call toll-free, 888-452-0091. That's 888-452-0091. Or go online to crossroadsantigua.org.
My name is Janice, and I'm from Rapid City, South Dakota. Willard Water is a pretty big deal around these parts. I've been using Willard Water for many years, and I can honestly say it's changed my life. A few years ago, I developed some early symptoms of arthritis. Over time, my pain got worse and worse. I went to my doctor. He prescribed the usual assortment of drugs and therapies, but they did little or nothing to alleviate the pain. I kept thinking, I'm too young to have this much pain, to be confined to a rocking chair for the rest of my life. So I soaked my hands in Willard Water, and it relieved my pain. In no time, I was back to living a healthy, happy life. We're expecting our first grandchild soon. Thanks to Willard Water, I'll be able to lift him up and enjoy our playtime.
To learn more about the benefits of Willard Water, call us at 888-379-4552 or visit our website at drwillard.com. That's drwillard.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration, and Willard Water is not intended to treat, diagnose, cure, or prevent any diseases.
The First Step Sober House of Pompano Beach has been part of the 12-step community for 14 years, and they've helped thousands of people to recover from addiction and the issues surrounding addiction. First Step Sober House of Pompano Beach is a sober living community built on the 12-step approach. Male or female, you can learn to be responsible again. Their 3 to 6 month intensive sober living house features a compassionate and structured program, and they work with attorneys and the courts. Call the First Step Sober House of Pompano Beach today, 954-942-7414. That's 954-942-7414. Or go online to firststepsoberhouse.com. Remember, if the elevator to your success is broken, you must take the steps. Take the first step today by calling First Step Sober House of Pompano Beach, 954-942-7414. Or go online to firststepsoberhouse.com. You are listening to the Holistic Lifestyles Radio Show, brought to you by Holistic Lifestyles Radio Incorporated. For more information about the show and our sponsors, be sure to visit our website, holisticlifestylesradio.com. That's holisticlifestylesradio.com. Now back to today's show.
All right, welcome back. Of course, we want to welcome our listeners from WNN 1470 AM. We also want to welcome our listeners on Blog Talk Radio, InterRooms.com, and all the rest of the folks that are listening live from the social media sites that we have across the globe. And we want to welcome everybody to the show. Again, my name is John Hollis, and I'm the host tonight of Holistic Lifestyles Radio Show. And we're proud to be on the air with you and, you know, what it was like, you know. We're going to talk about what it was like and what happened and what it's like now. And we're going to go from there. And, you know, over the last several months, I've been doing this for 2 years, and over the last several months, I've had a lot of people asking me and emailing me when I was going to tell my story. And we figured that tonight, you know, everybody kind of cornered me and got me to in a position where I'm going to sit down and chat with you and let you know where we came from and how this all started and where I came from and all of that. And we're going to go from there. And, you know, it was the understanding of my addiction came at an early age, and I knew that addiction ran rampant in my childhood and along with other folks in my family that were suffering from addiction also. And they ended up getting clean and sober, and, of course, I continued on for a whole lot of years after that. But, you know, one of the things that I look back at, and it isn't so much, in my opinion, the things that took place when I was younger and the situations that occurred when I was younger. It was the fears and the anxieties and all of the things that came out of them for me. And it was the understanding that I needed to
have some kind of a self-esteem, which I didn't have. And I grew up in a position where there was a lot of, things going on in the home, violence and things of that nature that took place in the home that I watched. And I ended up carrying a lot of that stuff into my later years, not trusting people, not trusting myself, not, comparing myself to others, comparing to my value to somebody else's outsides and all of those things, always feeling like I was on the outside looking in on any situation. I always felt like I was looked like the ugly red-headed stepchild. My mom and dad divorced when I was around 7, and, of course, then I went to I was going to school, and I was living at home, and my dad, God bless him, he did the best he possibly could. And my mom, too, she was going through her issues. For a long time I carried the idea that it was all their fault. And I know today that my addiction's nobody's fault. And, something, it is what it is. I have an allergy, and I deal with it as such, and there's nobody to blame for that. And I had to come to terms with that. I had to stop blaming everybody. But one of the things that in my early childhood was that I got through that process of going through the divorce and watching them battle with each other and come through a process that they needed to come through, and the marriage severed, and, of course, I spent my winters and going to school with my father in upstate New York. And he tended to, he was an IBM executive. He worked at IBM. He worked there for 32 years, and one of the things that he was able to accomplish was hold a job and take care of a family. And my mom was kind of out of the picture at that point. She was going through some other issues herself. And the bottom line is that, I would go to school, and he would, again, my dad did the best he possibly could, but, I would go to school in the checkered pants and the striped shirts and, the hair greased back. And it was like, the 70s, and I was not hip at all. But, I kind of felt like an outsider, and there was a lot of things that were going on, and I didn't have any identity whatsoever, and my mom had left, and dad was, trying to be mom and dad, and it was just a really, really bad situation as a kid to, have those feelings. And by the time I was 11 years old, I had the opportunity to smoke my first joint, and when I did that, I felt like, and I actually had my first beer at the same time, and I felt that warm, fuzzy feeling come upon me. And that warm, fuzzy feeling and that glow told me that everything was going to be okay, and something, life is cool, and this is what it's all about. And I began a life of chasing that first high for the next 32 years. And one of the things that I came to find out was that as I was chasing it, I really had no belief in nothing. I had no belief in anything. I really believed that everything was just a waste of time, and life was a big joke, and it was just one big party. And I ended up getting into a lot of jackpots. And through that time period, of course, I had the opportunity where I had an aunt and uncle that were in South Jersey, and they kind of rescued me during the summer and got me out of the insanity of being up north in New York. And I went down and I hung out with my family in New Jersey. And, I started doing that probably at around 8 years old. And I continued doing that through the time I was probably 16 or 17 years old. And one of the great opportunities I had was, thank God for that, because what ended up happening was I got some kind of an understanding in values and morals by taking them trips to Jersey and being close, and it was a very close-knit family. My aunt and uncle had a very close-knit family, and I was able to really understand the value of loving somebody else, and I got a little bit of that. I started to understand a little bit of that because I wasn't getting that where I was at. So one of the things that alcohol and drugs presented to me was an escape and a way not to feel any of those things and to get through all of those feelings of inadequacy and all of those, what I considered fear and anxiety. And it was a lot of fear and a lot of anxiety, where we're going to go, what's going to happen, and all of those things. And I remember actually thinking at one time, if
if they push the button, we all blow up. Who cares anyway? You know, all of those things were going through my head as a kid, and I would think about all of these things. And I know today that, you know, I was probably undiagnosed ADD or ADHD, a very hyperactive kid, and caused a lot of problems and just, you know, a very big behavioral problem and a lot of things just unloaded on life. And one of the things that I began to think is that life owed me something. And life doesn't owe me nothing. I owe life. I need to, you know, it isn't so much what am I going to get out of life, it's what can I bring to life. And for many years it was what can I get out of life. Today is what can I put back into it. And I went through this process of, by the time I was 16, I caught my first charge. It was a breaking and entering charge, and ended up going in front of the judge and getting supervised, of course, probation. And at that point, went through the next couple of years on the probation thing and got through it. And by about the time I was 19, I hit my first treatment program, and I remember it was a really bad night of drinking and drugging, and it, you know, I had got my first cocaine taste at the age of 13. I had started doing a lot of acid and started doing a lot of other chemicals along with the alcohol at around the age of 13, and that was raging. By the time I was 19, I was a full-blown drunk and drug addict, and had no purpose in life and was totally out of my mind. And I remember coming home one night, and my dad gave me an opportunity. He said, hey, listen, you know, here's the deal. You know, we have a treatment center for you. We got a detox for you if you want to go. If not, you're going to have to leave because I don't want you here. And, of course, you know, I wasn't stupid. Bottom line is that I'm not going out in the streets. Yeah, if I got a choice of going to treatment or, you know, going out in the streets, I guess it's going to treatment. So, of course, being the true addict dope fiend that I was, I went to treatment, and I was there for all the wrong reasons. I was there because Dad wanted me there, Mom wanted me there, you know, friends wanted me there, people wanted me there, cousins and aunts and uncles, and everybody thought it was the right thing, and it was, absolutely was the right thing for me because I was out of my mind, but I wasn't ready for it and didn't want to be there. But, again, one of the best things that could have ever happened to me, because I believe that God planned, you know, people plan and God laughs, because what took place in my life was that I had an introduction to the 12-step process. And I started to go to the 12-step rooms, and I ended up going for about the next, I don't know, couple of years where I was in and out. I got out of treatment. I fell in love while I was in treatment. I can't miss that one. You know, I walked into treatment, and there she was. I fell in love with her. She fell in love with me. We were going to, you know, do the steps together. We were going to have the white picket fence. She was going to sponsor me. I was going to sponsor her. It was going to be a wonderful thing. And, of course, 90 days later, she was drunk, and 4 months later, I was drunk. So that didn't work too well. I don't really, you know, suggest that to anybody in new recovery to get involved in a rehab romance. It's probably not the best thing that you can do if you're looking to focus on your recovery. So the next thing that transpired in my life was that I went through this in and out stage, and I ended up catching another charge, and I got busted down in Houston, Texas, and they arrested me in what was supposed to be a grand theft auto, and it ended up being reduced down to an unauthorized use of a motor vehicle. It was, at that time, a felony conviction, not a misdemeanor conviction. It was my first felony, and I caught my first felony, and they sent me back to New York on 5 years of probation. And that 5 years of probation ended up getting me cleaned up for about 16 months. I stayed sober for about 16 months. I went into the rooms of the 12-step fellowship, and I went to my first meeting, and I remember sitting in my first meeting, and I showed up in arrogance and ego, and I sat down, and I remember sitting at this table, and I was at a beginner's meeting, and it came around to me, and they said, you know, what do you want out of, I'm not going to name the fellowship, but what do you want out of the 12-step fellowship? And I said, well, listen, I don't want any friends.
I don't want to be friends with any of you people, and I say that nicely because that's not how I said it while I was there, but I just don't want to have to go through what I just went through. And the guy that was chairing the meeting at that time, he kind of, you know, looked across the table. I think I was 22 or 23 at the time, and he said, you know, you are a brain-dead maggot, and your best thinking got you sitting here, and you're probably better off just listening and not spewing any of your garbage on us. And I got to tell you, that made me very angry at that time. And I waited for him in the parking lot because, you know, I was going to let him know just how I felt about that. And he came out into the parking lot, and we ended up, it started out as a little bit of an argument, and then it turned into 3 hours of me and him talking. And he became my first sponsor in a 12-step process. And that gentleman, what I found in that 16 months, that, you know, I could have a relationship with another human being. It didn't mean I was gay. It didn't mean I was, you know, another man. It didn't mean I was gay. It didn't mean I, you know, there was something wrong with me. You know, and again, these were all the things that were going through my head. I had a lot of sexual situations in my life that I wasn't sure what I was. And the bottom line is that I needed to come to terms with those things, and I needed to understand who I was. And I started to get that understanding, and I started to understand who I was. And I ended up, again, going to the relationship. I met a fine lady. Her name was Sue. And I met Sue at about a year sober. And, of course, you know, the true addict that we are, and the addict that I am, I don't know about you, but the addict that I am, within, you know, the 60 days we were married, within 30 days she was pregnant, within 60 days we were married. And of course, you know, I look back at that whole thing, and again, I was trying to show everybody in the world that I was okay and there was nothing wrong with me, and that, you know, that if I have this relationship and I'm holding a relationship together and I have a great family and, you know, I have the child and I have the wife and the bills are taken care of and all of this stuff, then, you know something, there's nothing wrong with me. I'm okay. But I know I'm an addict, but I want you to like me. I want you to love me. I want you to care about me. And I carried all of those things for many, many, many years. And the understanding of my addiction today is that when I finally, I of course, got to a point where I didn't, you know, I stopped going to meetings. I stopped doing the things that were told to me in that first year, and I started to put other things in front of my recovery. I started to, you know, become dishonest in all my affairs. I started the same steps that I had put into my life. I started working them backwards. You know, I wasn't helping others. I became selfish and self-centered again. I wasn't meditating and asking God for direction on a daily basis. I stopped doing that. You know, I got to a point where taking an inventory was all about taking somebody else's inventory because it wasn't mine. I got back to the blame game again. As far as making amends to life in general and to any amends that I needed to make, you know, I had situations crop up where I could have made amends for things, and I avoided them and ran away from them. And these are the things that started to take place. So I believe that the steps that I put in my life, I started to work them in reverse, and I started, you know, stop looking at my character defects and stop taking inventories and stop looking at the fact that God had me sober and I was by the grace of God sober. It had nothing to do with me. I had to do the work, but God, in God's grace, kept me there. And I forgot those things. And I forgot that, you know, the power of the 12-step rooms, and, you know, having a network of people and service and a service commitment and being plugged in was that power source. And I slowly drifted away, and the next thing you know, I was drunk again. And unfortunately, I would love to sit here and tell you that that actually transpired for a couple of day run, but it ended up lasting for 15 years. And through that time period, I walked out on not just one child. We had had a second child, a boy, and I walked out on the daughter and the son. and walked out on the ex-wife and moved to Florida because, of course, somebody had offered me an opportunity to go into a treatment program in Florida, and I said, well, that's where they bring the drugs in, so I'm definitely going to Florida. And I got to Florida, and I went to this treatment program. I lasted 30 days, and I left. And I got involved in telephone sales, and I was selling what they call payphone routes. And it became an addiction all in itself. And, you know, it was a boiler room. And bottom line is I went to work in it, and it was very dishonest. And I would periodically try to go back to a meeting or two, but I really didn't draw a sober breath. From the time I got to Florida until probably 2001, when it was just so bad I couldn't handle it anymore. And I had met a young lady when I got down here, and we ended up through that time period. It was amazing. We got together, and I would literally make these huge paychecks, and I would smoke it up or drink it up within a couple of day time period, and the next thing you know, I would be out on the streets. I was living on the streets of Miami, and I would do that for, you know, we would smoke all weekend in some hotel room, and we'd last until Monday or Tuesday, and then we'd get thrown out of the hotel room, and I'd have to wait, you know, Wednesday, Thursday, get the check on Friday, and then start it all over again. And we lived that way for many, many years. We literally at times were sleeping in cardboard dumpsters together. We were eating out of dumpsters together, and this was somebody that was making a living. Everything was going to my addiction. The insanity was raging. I wasn't in contact with any family members, and when I was, it was all about, hey, listen, this is what I need, you know, wine, 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 send me money, send me money, send me money, and it just got to a point for myself where I was so out of my mind. The darkest time period is when I tried to do a geographical to Indianapolis, Indiana, and I tried to, get out of Miami because, of course, that's the problem. It has nothing to do with me. And I went up there to be involved in a phone room and got up there, and next thing you know, I'm in the middle of a nine-month crack cocaine and cocaine run that was just horrible. And I was never leaving the office. I had actually made like a little cave and stayed in this office, and it was horrible. And I sat there and I smoked crack for 9 months, and that was basically my life existence. And I'd get up and I'd go do some phone work in the morning and make enough money to just keep my addiction going. At the end of the week, I had a lot of enablers, and I look back and I see that. And in this particular case, it would be the guys all standing in line to get their paycheck, and my two drug dealers would be in that line also getting their check, too. And that's how I lived my life. And at the getting back from the time period of, like, the middle 90s, I ended up catching my first charge in Florida living here. And it was a strong-armed robbery, and I ended up in front of a judge. And the judge was lenient with me, and I ended up with 14 months in Florida State Prison, so I caught my first prison bid. And I ended up going through prison and getting out of prison, and within a short amount of time, I was back doing a year bid in a county jail here in Broward County, and got done doing that and ended up doing a bunch of little bids through the early 2000s, you know, 6 months here, 9 months there. It was insane. It was insane. And also, while I was in prison in Florida, at the end of that stay, Texas wanted me because, if you remember, I told you I had that probation thing going on in New York. Well, I had violated probation. Texas wanted me, so they came and got me. They gave me 2 years after the year I did in Florida. And this is all wrapped around the insanity of the addiction. This is all wrapped around the insanity of my thinking, all wrapped around me thinking, well, I know what's best, all wrapped around the insecurities of life and me always feeling like I wasn't a part of, and if I could just do this or just do that, things will be better. And my insane thinking got me in a whole lot of jackpots, and it was all addictive, junky behavior and junky thinking. And in the end, I ended up in 2006, December 2006, I ended up getting to a point where I was sitting on the side. I had been living under a bridge on 79th Street and Biscayne Boulevard. I'd been living under the bridge for about 8 months off and on. I ended up in St. Luke's addiction treatment program. During that time period, I would get out, and I went and got high again and end up back under the bridge. But I was homeless all through the 2000s, early 2000s and mid-2000s. I was homeless during that whole time period. You know, 2001, 2002, 2003, 2004, 2005. I spent more time under the bridge than I did in a bed. And the addiction progression of my disease was killing me, and there I was, and I was sitting on the side of this building, and I had to make a decision. I had $7 in my pocket, and it was weird because I never wake up with money, that's for sure, when, you know, I'm running the streets. And I had $7 in my pocket, and I had to make a decision. What, if I'm going to take, you know, $3 of that and go buy my first rock, my first $3 rock at a $3 hole in Miami? Or was I going to go and buy my first beer and a couple of loose cigarettes and start my day out that way? Or was I going to walk into this 12-step clubhouse that I was actually sleeping on the side of? And I walked in, and I made a decision to buy a pack of cigarettes and a cup of coffee. And that was of course, December the 31st, believe it or not, of 2006. And by the grace of God, I believe that, that, you know, that was the date of my last drink and my last drug, the last of anything that is mind or mood altering, and I believe that I didn't choose in that day. I just was tired that day. I believe it took about 30 days when I really had to choose in, because I was the kind of guy that didn't do well after 30 days. I could make 30 days and go back out. But when we come back from this break, what I'll do is we'll talk about how that all came to a head, and within that 30-day time period, how I chose in, and, you know, what happened. And then we'll talk about what it's like now. And we'll be back right after this message.
If you know someone struggling with an addiction to alcohol, prescription medications, or other drugs, Crossroads Center Antigua provides comprehensive detoxification, treatment, and continuing care services with a holistic body, mind, and spirit approach to recovery. Founded by Eric Clapton, Crossroads Center is recognized as one of the top 10 international programs for addiction services. Crossroads provides quality, affordable care for individuals and their families. Remember, recovery is possible, and it's often life-saving. Call now for a free confidential assessment and speak with an admissions counselor at the Crossroads Center Antigua. Call toll-free, 888-452-0091. That's 888-452-0091. Or go online to crossroadsantigua.org.
My name is Joanne. I'm from Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin, and I've been using Willard Water for more than 15 years. My husband and I are very careful about our nutrition. We eat organic food, try to maintain a healthy lifestyle, and we drink Willard Water every day. I'm 65 years old. My husband is 64. We're in fantastic shape. Willard Water plays a key role in our good health. Willard Water helps the body absorb more of the vitamins and nutrients we need for good health. It's also full of natural minerals. I'm here to tell you what thousands of others around the world already know. Willard Water works. If you care about your health, you'll go out and buy some today.
To learn more about the benefits of Willard Water, call us at 888-379-4552 or visit our website at drwillard.com. That's drwillard.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration, and Willard Water is not intended to treat, diagnose, cure, or prevent any diseases.
My name is Charles Becker. If you or a loved one has been injured in an accident due to the negligence of another, care enough to hire Becker & Associates to protect your rights. We are an AV-rated law firm and have 45 years of combined experience. We are all former prosecutors and have all worked for the insurance companies, so we know what they're up to. They have their attorneys, and so should you. When involved in an accident, remember, you may be entitled to $10,000 in medical or lost wages under your PIP policy. In addition, you may receive payments for your pain, suffering, or for the suffering of a loved one. Contact us at 954-941-8363 or visit us on the web at southfloridaattorney.com.
willard.com.
The hiring of an attorney is an important decision that should not be based solely upon advertising. Ask for free written information about the firm's qualifications and experience.
You are listening to the Holistic Lifestyles Radio Show, brought to you by Holistic Lifestyles Radio Incorporated. For more information about the show and our sponsors, be sure to visit our website, holisticlifestylesradio.com. That's holisticlifestylesradio.com. Now, back to today's show.
All right, welcome back. Of course, my name is John Hollis, and this is Holistic Lifestyles Radio Show. If you're just tuning in with us, we're on WNN 1470 AM out of Boca Raton, BZU Broadcasting. We're streaming to Blog Talk Radio, Facebook, Twitter podcasts, and, of course, intherooms.com and all of the other social media sites that are listening to our show. And before we started the last segment of the show, I was telling everybody that I'd been asked a lot over the last several months to tell my story. And, you know, they finally scheduled that for tonight and made that possible for it to happen. And we, of course, went through the what happened. Now, of course, they are the beginning part of my addiction. And now we're getting into the what happened. And as I had said before we went to break, it was a pretty remarkable thing. I had sat in that meeting in that 12-step clubhouse that morning on 79th Street in Miami, and I had got that pack of cigarettes and bought that cup of coffee. And as I said, I don't believe that I knew I was tired, but I didn't know I was ready at that point. You know, I wanted to believe I was ready, and at that point I made some phone calls, and I, of course, had my enablers and my rescuers, and I called a good friend of mine, and I said, Danny, his name is Danny Lubers, a really good friend of mine and very big supporter of everything that I'm doing today in my life, a huge supporter. Without him, I don't know where Holistic Lifestyles Radio would be, but I can tell you that Danny told me, well, listen, you know, I got a bed for you in a three-quarter way house, and they called it Siberia. And that's where he put all the chronic relapsers. And, you know, if you made it, you made it. If you didn't, you did it. And he had a 56th Street house in Fort Lauderdale that he had a lot of people that were really working programs and doing what they needed to do. And I came up and I went to Siberia. And I was in Siberia and I was working. I remember I was clean about a week or so. And, of course, jump right back onto the phone and start making some money in these phone rooms and, you know, boiler rooms. And I went into this particular phone room, and it was my, you know, again, I've been back a week, and now I'm going to go back to work because it's all about making money, right? And no, not. And I walk back in, and I walk into this room, and I sit down, and it's my first day, and the guy next to me tells the lady on the phone that, you know, if you do X, Y, Z, I guarantee you that by the end of the week, you'll make X, Y, Z. And this thing in my stomach just hit me that, you know something, you need to do something different. And this isn't right, and you need to get out of here. And I got up, and I handed the guy my paperwork. And, you know, as a person that, you know, did that type of work, I was considered very good at it because I knew how to lie. And cheat and steal. The bottom line is that I said, listen, I got to go. And he said, what's the matter, man? You know, we want you to stay. And I said, I can't do this. You know, did you just hear what that guy said? I just can't live like this anymore. I can't do this. And I walked across the street, and there was this guy, Herbster. He was in it was a 12-step clubhouse right across the street. And I walked in, and I said, Herb, I need a job. And he said, I thought you were the big phone guy. I thought you were going to make all kinds of money on the phone. And I said, listen, I can't do that no more. I don't want to do that no more. And I need a job. And he said, well, if you're going to work for me, it's $75 a day, all the coffee you can drink. And, you know, I'll pick you up at 7 a.m. tomorrow. And I went to work for Herb, and I did that for the first 9 months of my recovery. And I got to tell you, folks, that around 30 days, I had amassed my fortune. It was a $70 fortune. I was sitting at Siberia in the three-quarter way house, and the craving hit me.
the thought hit me, and I wanted to use. And I sat on this couch in this three-quarter way house on a Friday night with $70 in my pocket. And actually, it was a Saturday night. I'm sorry. It was a Saturday night. It was Pompano Beach. Or I'm sorry. It was a 12-step fellowship's anniversary that night, a group anniversary. And I ended up contemplating, am I going to go to this meeting or am I going to go to Miami and just use and get high? And I sat there for about 2 hours, and I finally said, you know something, I'm going to go to the meeting, and then after the meeting, I'll go get high. And I went to the meeting, and I walked in, and Jim D was there. He's my sponsor today, and I walked through the door, and there was Jimmy. And I knew Jimmy from New York, believe it or not. He was now living in Florida, and we used to run in the same circles in New York. And I walked up to him, and I said, Jimmy, I'm dying. I want to use. And I broke down, and I gave him $70, and I said, listen, I need you to hold this because I don't want to use. And it was unbelievable. Ed H., who's now passed away, and Jim D., and Beth D., Jim's wife, and Ron, you know, these people just rallied around me that night, and I felt the love of people like I had never felt it before. And the next day, they got me home that night, and I woke up the next day, and for the first time in my life, that I had wanted to use, really wanted to use, and I didn't. And I got through it, and how did I get through it? I got through it with by the grace of God and the people in the fellowship and the 12-step organization, and they helped me to get through that. And at that point, I asked Jim to be my sponsor, and Jim said, hey, listen, you know, that night he said, you know, John, you got to choose into this thing. You either got to choose in or you got to choose out. What's your choice today? And I chose in that night. And I knew. I mean, the history, the track record of my life using showed that I was powerless. My life was totally, totally powerless. And because of that powerlessness, everything in my life was unmanageable. I knew that the power source of my life was about getting into that power. It wasn't about God at that point. It was about I needed something more powerful than me, and how did I do that? I went into the 12-step rooms, and I found a group, and I found a group of people, and I found Jim, and I got plugged in, and then I had to choose in. And how did I choose in? Well, you know, Jimmy said a few things, and the first thing was is that, you know, mad, glad, or sad, John, you no longer have the option to use. It's no longer an option. Mad, glad, or sad, you don't get to pick up a drink or a drug. And by getting through that first night, the faith that I grew was amazing, because that was not the last time. I had the urge to use for the next 9 months. And I mean, it was horrible. For the next 9 months, I wanted to use every day. And a relief started to come. I started to do some other things. I got a hold of a gentleman that I know, John Giordano, and John owns a treatment center in North Miami Beach, and I was talking to him, and he ended up, I was about 6 months in recovery, and he said, listen, why don't you come on down and talk with us? And I went down, and he put me on some amino acid protocols and started doing vitamin and mineral protocols, and I started doing things like acupuncture and EMDR and massage therapy, and I started doing these other alternative things along with the 12-step approach that I was doing with my sponsor. And the next thing you know, John and Jerry asked me if I would be interested in working for the organization and taking inbound phone calls from people that might need treatment. And, folks, this is where it really began for me. I think, you know, I had chosen, but here's where I started to learn the suffering of what addicts put their family through. I had got my first phone call. Well, not my first call. I was probably on the phone about a month, and I got a phone call from a lady in New Jersey that had a son-in-law that needed treatment. Long story short, he was supposed to come in on Thanksgiving, which was the following Thursday. He was supposed to come in the day after Thanksgiving because they all felt that he needed to be home for Thanksgiving. He ended up dying in a hotel room that Wednesday shooting dope, and they called me back. And I remember having to set up a grief counselor in New Jersey to go to these folks' house the day before Thanksgiving and having a grief counselor there to be able to speak with these folks. And it was horrible, and it made me understand the things that I had put my family through, the selfishness and the self-centeredness of my addiction, and it was always about me, and it was always about my situations. And you know something, by the grace of God, he was gone, and I was here by the grace of God. By the grace of God. And I had an opportunity to make a difference. And I started to work with different families and different relatives of addicts calling in, and I spent the next year of my life working, doing this. And somebody made the opportunity available for me to work for a small magazine down here, and I went to John and Jerry, and I said, John and Jerry, I got this opportunity, and it's for a holistic magazine, and I'd like to do it, and they gave me their blessing, and I went on my way to my next venture, and of course that was in the holistic field, and we ended up putting out a magazine, and we produced it for about a year with Keith McManus and his family, and of course in the magazine world it didn't work out too well and died, but in the process I had the opportunity of going on the air, and that was January the 3rd of 2009, I had a phone call from WNN, and they had asked me if I would consider putting together a radio show in regards to addiction and holistic approaches. And I went in and I sat down with them, and I went on the air first time January the 3rd of 2009. But through that time period, you know, I learned how to respect myself. I learned how to start respecting others. I learned how to start communicating. I have a 12-year-old son that is with me here, and for the last 3 years, he's watched his dad grow up. We've got to grow up together. He was born in 1999 and watched the devastation of my addiction and seen me living on the streets and seen me living under bridges, and would be with his mom when they would drop food off to me. I mean, it was just insane. And he's now in my life on a daily basis, and we have a home together, me and him and his mother, and that life is back together. My two kids down and are up in New York. One of them came back into my life for a short period of time. It didn't work out that well. It didn't go that well. And you know, looking at my end of it and looking at my side of it, I know, and rounding off on the people that I was with the particular situation, he was, you know, with his situation and my situation, I did the best I possibly could. And you know, there's probably some things that I could have done better, absolutely. But I know that I did the best I possibly could at that point. And if it's supposed to come back, it'll come back. As far as making ongoing amends, I do that on a daily basis. I give back as much as I humanly can. As far as the radio show is concerned, yeah, we're on the air 15 hours a week, and that's carrying a message. We've lost more money than we've made, and I'm okay with that too, because it isn't about the money. It's about carrying the message. It's about carrying a message of hope. And, I mean, I really don't know much more to say than other than this. And I know if you're out there listening tonight and you think that, you know, you go into a 12-step meeting or you're sitting somewhere and you're alone and you're in that funk, I can tell you that I didn't believe that life could be beyond my wildest dreams. I didn't believe that my family would be back in my life. I believed at the very end that I would be alone and dying under a bridge somewhere or in some shooting gallery or some crack den in Miami. That's how I felt I was going to go. By the grace of God, life is beyond my wildest dreams today. If you had told me that 3 years ago, a little over 3 years ago, I would be where I'm at today, I would have told you you're out of your mind. I also know that I'm here today because of two reasons. One, because this is where God chooses me to be for right now, and it's a moment at a time. And also, at the same token, I also know that I have to do the work. God puts strategically people in my life on a daily basis, and the relationship that I have been able to get with my higher power and the faith that I have been able to build through the last 3 years, and the understanding of God's love is just the most incredible, incredible thing. And if I got a great friend of mine, Danny, and he says the best thing I ever said, you know, everything I have is on loan by God. And if it was to go tomorrow, one thing's for sure, I know that my recovery is the most important thing. And all the rest of the stuff is just material. What God's purpose is for me today is to be a sober human being and help another person and to give love unconditionally, even when I don't want to. And folks, there are certain days where I don't want to, and I have to get centered, and I have to meditate, and I have to pray. And I, as I go through my day, when I am in indecision, I have to stop and pause and ask God for help and for strength and a direction where I need to go in. You know, I'm glad that I had the opportunity to share with you guys tonight, and hopefully you get to know me a little bit better. And of course, you know, that's, I think, the purpose of this radio show tonight was for people to understand where I came from and understand what I'm about and why the radio show and why it was founded. And you know, I bless people. And I believe that there's a lot of blessed people out there. You know, I can go, you know, in the rooms, the guys that in the rooms, these guys are huge, huge people to take the undertaking that they're taking to be able to spread the message to 85 or 100,000 people. You know, you got people out there that are just dedicated, the Addict's Mom, Ken Seeley. These people are on the forefront, the front lines of addiction. And, you know, guys like Eric Clapton, he doesn't have to. He don't have to do anything to help people. He could just stay sober and that be it. But, you know, something, he chooses to be on the front lines of recovery. Amazing stuff. And what that does is it gives me so much hope, and it fires me up, that I want to be able to carry a message, I want to be able to help, and I want to be something that when, God forbid, when my time comes and God wants to bring me home, at my eulogy, what is somebody going to say about me? Remember when I was sitting in recovery about 3 months, and I was at one of the gentlemen that had been sober for 12 years had passed away of natural causes, and we were at his memorial service, and everybody was saying wonderful, loving, nurturing things about him. And I remember thinking to myself at that point, it was about 3 months over, if I was to die today, what would people say about me? I got to tell you, I couldn't find one good thing. And today in my life, I know that, you know, there's still a whole wake of a lot of garbage. But again, the wake is gone, and the waters are settling down, and life is good. And I want to be remembered, you know, when my time comes, as somebody that was able to, through God's help and through God's grace, be able to carry a message of hope and be somebody different in life. And that's, you know, my common goal today, my common thread. And, you know, I love people, and I love being involved with what I do. It's just so exciting for me. I get to meet so many cool people, and I get to hear so many great stories, and I get to understand that, you know, we were able to, we at Holistic Lifestyles Radio and in the rooms and all of the rest of the folks all working together, Atlantic Shores Hospital and Christy at First Steps Over House and Danny Lubers, we together, all of us together, we were able to help over 100 people get into treatment last year. And, you know, not everybody had money, man. They came out from under the bridge, and we were able to get them into treatment too. And, you know, that's what this is all about. It's about loving people. And, you know, I want to thank everybody for tuning in tonight. If you need help, or if you're in a situation, and I don't care where you're at, if you're in one of the local jails and you just need a place to go and get out, or if you're hurting tonight and you need help, please feel free to call me. You can reach me at 954-946-4313. And at the same time, if you have any questions in regards to what we have talked about tonight, you can also No, send an email to info@holisticlifestylesradio.com and feel free to ask any questions that you want, and I'll be glad to reply to them and chat with you and talk with you.
The First Step Sober House of Pompano Beach has been part of the 12-step community for 14 years, and they've helped thousands of people to recover from addiction and the issues surrounding addiction. First Step Sober House of Pompano Beach is a sober living community built on the 12-step approach. Male or female, you can learn to be responsible again. Their 3 to 6 month intensive sober living house features a compassionate and structured program, and they work with attorneys and the courts. Call the First Step Sober House of Pompano Beach today, 954-942-7414. That's 954-942-7414. Or go online to firststepsoberhouse.com.